Blog Talk Radio.
With 30 seconds of my intro song, Round and Round, by my dear friend Mars Mills, because we have a lot to talk about. And I know many of you are super excited, like I am, for this edition of Matters of the Heart Wednesday, because the Shock Entertainment Reports. I am so excited. Oh my God. And remember, this broadcast is rated mature for mature audience. Only age 18 and above, because we're talking some serious business today, and I'm so glad that you all could join us again. And my dear friend, my longtime friend, Facebook pal, intimacy advisor Belinda Bostic, out of Houston, Texas, is with us again to share with us different ways and innovative ways to add creativity to our intimate lives, our sex lives, because today's the topic. And when I mentioned the topic to her today after last Wednesday's awesome show, she was like, most definitely, I have so much to share regarding that topic. So I'm so glad that she agreed to return so soon to talk about innovative ways to add creativity to one's intimate sex life. You know, whether you are single, solo like I am, or just seeking fun ways to spice up your romantic relationship with your mate, lover, significant other, spouse, whatever you call you that important person in your life. And I hope some of you created a listener profile so you can chat in the chat room also, because you can post your questions in the chat room. And so I'm not going to just go on and on. I have posted awesome articles regarding the subject matter of spicing up our love and sex lives. I even joined a Facebook group. There's a Facebook group called Spice Up Your Sex Life. But I'm, you know, pretty freaky group. But some amazing articles from iVillage. Belinda and I both love to extensive. We are like-minded. We both love to research. And who wouldn't like to research on this topic? Anyway, but I posted you can check out iVillage. There's an awesome article regarding the subject matter that was written on December 11. I posted a couple awesome articles from Red Book Magazine regarding just fun and spicy ways to spice up your intimate life. And it's not just introducing toys. You know, it's from different things. But you can friend Belinda at Facebook. I'm telling you all this. And then also visit her, because as we're talking, if you have not visited her website, visit Slumber Parties by Belinda Bostic. That's BOSTIC.com, okay? Because it's pretty fun to be able to listen to us talk. Call us at 714-409-0614 and also check in out her website. Her website is so awesome. I just love it. But I must tell everybody happy birthday. Happy birthday to all my listeners and my real-life friends who are celebrating birthdays. Shout out to Gabrielle Lovelace, also known as Lisa Henry. Today is her birthday. And whomever and everybody who's celebrating a birthday today, anniversary, graduating, I wish you the best. But we're going on and on because, honestly, I am getting hot in here, and we must talk. My cousin Linda also is online. And you know cousin Linda loves the subject matter on hand also. Author of Myrna's Adventure, and she's based in Dallas, Texas, a Jackson native. Okay, well, thank you, and here's Belinda.
Belinda. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very heated and excited. Literally.
Already excited.
Thank you again for joining us regarding this subject matter of adding more creativity to our intimate lives.
It's a fun topic.
Yes, it is.
It's a very fun topic.
But where do you want to start?
Where to start? Well, I think first off I should remind everybody, if they weren't listening to the show last week, we talked a lot about how communication is key in any intimate setting. So when you're trying to introduce something new into the bedroom, whether it be to spice it up or, you know, even just switching things up a little bit, it's not necessarily about going to one extreme or another, but even just switching things up a little bit, that communicating with your partner and being open is really key to getting what you're desiring.
So be open and honest
yeah.
on the subject matter.
Open and honest at all times.
Okay, I was just reading an article from one of our favorite sites, iVillage, and it states in this list of 20 ways to spice up your sex life. And I'm looking at number 18. It says make a bedroom rule. The author of this list states that their rule is not to allow the use of the same position more than once in a week. And that reminds me of what you mentioned last Wednesday regarding that most of us only can think of three positions.
Right.
Off the top of our head. So how can
we
add?
Haha. Well, first of all, if you really are only working with, you know, one, two, three positions, and you never change, you never deviate from those, then you really need to sort of sit down and do a little bit of research. Now, it can be by reading a book or getting online and checking things out. You know, we talked about it last week. I have a couple of different books in my product line that are fantastic for that, for helping you figure out different positions. But sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone just a little bit, you know, and do some research, maybe ask a good friend, you know, or just take cues from regular movies that you've seen. I think people get turned off a little bit and sometimes a little worried that, oh, I have to watch, you know, a XXX DVD in order to get any ideas. But that's, you know, that's just not the case. If you've ever seen, you know, movies like Original Sin or, oh gosh, I can't think of it, but I'll think of the name in a second. But, you know, these movies where they do have sex scenes or intimate scenes or, you know, anything along those lines, I mean, hello,
I'm a romantic film lover. Even romantic films, you know, to me, films like Serendipity, you know?
Yes.
Films like that
yes.
that are colored, just filled with romance.
Right. Well, and a lot of those, especially when you work with romantic films, if you're taking cues from them, you're likely to get a little more passion, a little more sweetness put into it. And sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes all you need is that extra caress or, you know, realizing that to touch the small of the back is sensual or what have you. But sometimes you just need those extra ideas. So, you know, for any of my, I call them mild, for any of my mild customers who, you know, are worried about using toys or bondage or anything like that, you know, they don't have to be so put off by it because it's
so
easily good.
So please explain to the listening audience and myself and my cousin Linda's on the line also. How do you introduce innovative ways like bondage and S&M? And I noticed yesterday you talked about role playing on your Facebook page.
I did. Well, I was doing some research on BDSM and sort of the what some people would call the extreme for bondage and stuff. But what I found is that there's kind of a misconception. And, you know, when people think of BDSM, they think of being chained to the wall and having whips and chains and, you know, a complete dominant and submissive relationship. And from what I can understand, that's really not the case. But, you know, if you're into, like, spankings every now and then or even just biting on the earlobe or something like that, that's a form, you know, of BDSM. And So I was doing some research, and I was doing some thinking on it, on how to introduce these fantasies that you have, these wants and desires that you have. So something that I came across, and I forget which website it was off of, but something that I came across made a very good point that when you're talking about this with your partner, that yes, it's important to be open and honest, but you kind of have to choose your setting wisely, you know, especially if it's going to be something that's a little off the beaten path for you and your partner. They may be analogy, you know, don't talk to her about it as she's, you know, or him, whoever is doing the talking, but don't talk to your partner about it when they have a mouthful of salad in a crowded restaurant, you know. Sometimes you have to wait until you're already aroused, until you're already in the bedroom, and maybe ease it in a little bit slower, because if you talk about those things outside of the bedroom, when there is nothing sexual going on, that, you know, they tend to think more logically about it and have more, you know, okay, well, what about this, and versus if you're already in the bedroom and, you know, everybody's already aroused and excited, that yes. it's less logical. And not that, you know, that would make a decision wrong, but it's a little bit easier to relax and say, okay, I get what you're saying, and I'm already so turned on that I'm actually willing to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a little bit easier to introduce it. So now, obviously, there's a difference between introducing, you know, light bondage or light spanking, or, you know, this 50 Shades of Grey that's out, the big deal is that he wraps her wrist with a gray tie. You know,
yes.
Something like that you might be able to get away with.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't necessarily spring chaining somebody to a wall without already talking about it before.
Just
out of
the blue, chain someone up and blindfold them, huh?
Right. That one might need a little bit more conversation.
Welcome to my dungeon.
Yes. Hello. I'm glad you're here. Gag yourself. Oh, Lord.
But do it subtly.
Yes.
I have a dominatrix.
So, you know,
name.
I mean, especially.
Mistress Beth. Mistress Beth is my dominatrix name. Yeah.
Well, see, you're already prepared.
Exactly.
You're already prepared. But most of my clients are not. So, you know, when you're wanting to introduce a fantasy, and that's I'm sort of specifically talking about bondage. You know, because mm-hmm. that seems to be what puts people off. They get worried about what they mean by that. You know, people are not interested in having pain inflicted upon them or, you know, inflicting pain upon others. But if you really do some research into the BDSM world, that's not necessarily what it's all about. So it's just a little, and I'm not super familiar with them. I've just done a little bit of research on my own, but it seems to be more about pleasure than pain. There just may be some pain involved. So, but, you know, just introducing regular fantasies. I actually did yesterday. I was asking my clients, you know, what do you fantasize about? What does your partner fantasize about? And I asked them to send me private messages. And, you know, some of them, it was just a matter of switching up location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe feeling a little naughty, going out and, you know, having sex on the beach or in a, you know, a dressing room or something like that. You know, just a little bit of voyeurism there. And some of them were light bondage. And light bondage, I didn't have a single woman message me and say that she liked heavy bondage or anything like that. It's all, you know, silk scarves and, you know, maybe some handcuffs, which handcuffs goes along with a policeman fantasy and, you know, the fireman fantasy, things like that. You know, it seemed more mild nature, but they were very common. You know,
and
the women
and
who
the
were messaging.
And the products that you market that fall in that category, they seem very, they seem nice. You know.
Yeah, they are. They are. We really don't have a ton of heavy bondage.
Yeah.
That's just not something that we've incorporated yet, but, you know, we do have some fun bondage items. We have one item that actually turns any bed into a four-poster bed. You flip it under the mattress, and it's got four, like, handcuff tethers, and you can tie up your lover. And once you're done, you just slip it back underneath the mattress. That way you don't have to worry about tying anything or anybody walking in or having to take stuff down. It's all right there under your bed. So, you know, I would say that most of our products fall into soft bondage and possibly even beginner's bondage, but, you know, they're fun, and it's a fun way to introduce that. You know, if you've ever your hands pinned above your head, well, that's a form of bondage, and I think people don't understand that. They think, oh, well, no, they just pin me.
And if you're giggly like me, then sometimes that serves for a purpose. You know, I'm a giggly type person when I'm in that moment, you know, and I need that to restrain, and then I think it'll be fun to restrain. I can't, like I told you yesterday, I can't wait to fall in love again so I can just really explore that, you know. But,
Right. But
I'm a giggly type person, so I need a little restraint sometimes.
Right.
You know, because I'm a giggly person, a tickly person. And sometimes to get that pleasure, you need at least, to me, it seems like one would need a little light form of bondage to really reach that ultimate.
Well, it's fun, you know, and it builds up the intensity. You know, it ups that passion factor, it ups the intensity factor. And so I think that's really what women like. You know, you watch steamy movies, even if they're just regular romance flicks, but, you know, those scenes where some incredibly delicious man, you know, pushes a woman up against the wall and there's kissing and it's, you know, she's just shoved up against the wall, feel that heat instantly.
Exactly.
You know, and that's a form of BDSM in a mild sense, you know. So I think people really get a misconception about what all it entails. And BDSM is a very vague term, you know, that's covering all of the bondage and the sadomasochism and all of that. You know, obviously that's everything involved, so it sounds much more intense than it is. But, you know, like I said, light spanking, ear tugging, you know, biting, things like that. Those are all forms of mild and fun play with BDSM. So introducing that to your partner can be a little bit tricky, but like I said, sometimes it's fun to introduce it when you're already aroused. You know, maybe just have a silk scarf by the bed and ask to be tied up, you know, or tie your hands together already or, you know, something like that. But it takes communication, for sure.
Or simply, simply blindfolding your mate and maybe doing things when a person cannot see what you're doing next, you know, I'm sure that's like a form of light bondage, right? If you blindfold him or he blindfolds
you
and you not know what is next, you know, but they're exploring your body.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's like a light form of bondage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have to relinquish control when you do that.
Yeah.
So I was speaking with my husband yesterday about, you know, dominant and submissive, and you know, he's on the flip side, you know, sort of, I don't understand that, you know, I would never want to inflict pain, and I don't like pain, and, you know, he needs some research done. but, you know, I was trying to explain to him why anybody would want to be a submissive, and if you've ever been blindfolded, or if you've ever had your hands tied, or something like that, and, you know, of course, it takes having, you know, a compassionate partner, you know, obviously, when you get into heavy bondage, there are safe words, and they have to be applied, and they have to be, you know, heated. If somebody says the safe word, you stop, you know, otherwise you cross lines. But, you know, in light bondage, if you've ever been blindfolded and you've had the ice cube run up and down your skin or they've, you know, a tickler or something like that, you know just how exciting that can be because you don't know what's coming next. You can't see it. You know, you're not allowed to touch or feel or do anything like that. It's just taking away one of your senses and forcing you to really focus on the other.
Exactly.
You know, so if you're not watching somebody rub an ice cube up and down you, but all of a sudden you feel it, well, that's going to intensify it. So especially something like that, you know, fun things, like even little games. You know, and we have certain games, but just fun things that say, hey, let's step out of our comfort zone. You know, let's try this. Those are small ways to start introducing your fantasies. And like I said last week, other ways to introduce fantasies, even simple ones, like that you wanted to be blindfolded or even, you know, a little spanking here or there or whatever, pretend that you had a dream. And we talked about it last week, but that's such an easy way and really non-committal, you know, because it's just, wow, I had this dream about you last night. And your partner's thinking, okay, tell me what it is. Like, what is it? And, you know, you can act coy about it or shy, or you can just blurt it out. But even if you had a dream or not.
Well, my erotic dreams are, I have some amazing erotic dreams. I mean, they're just amazing.
Just
amazing erotic
dreams. I dream in color 100%. Yes.
Exactly. So, wow. But you
yes.
go ahead.
Well, I mean, you have these dreams, and it's, you know, your subconscious kind of coming to you, and this is what you want, or this is what you think you might want. But, you know, when you have a really hot dream and you wake up and, you know, your partner's still laying there asleep and you have those moments where you just sort of want to wake them up. You know, like those are a really good time to take advantage of that and say, God, you know, I had this crazy dream about you. I don't know if I should tell you. Oh, you say that and they're just putty in your hands. Tell me, what is it? What did you dream about me? You know, they
listen
get all excited, and you can go any way you want with that.
Wow. So don't be afraid, because we do have real dreams, so don't be afraid when you have a real dream to share that dream with your significant other or your spouse, right?
Right, and like I said, you can fake it. Oh, my gosh, I had this dream about you, and you didn't have a dream, you were just thinking about it the day before, but, like I said, it's a nice, easy...
Isn't that freak out, huh?
Yes, but it's an easy non-committal way of exploring your fantasies and saying, gosh, this is what my dream was, and seeing how your partner is going to gauge that response, you know, sort of, wow, that's actually really hot. I'm turned on right now, or, oh, my gosh, that's awful. I would never consider that, you know, I mean, which obviously those are the two extremes, but, you know, something like that, or like I said last week, when you're reading a book, if you're reading this in front of your partner and they see that you're visibly turned on, you know, and you can tell when you're reading erotic literature, you tend to be in a little bit better mood. You might be a little spicier. You sort of, you know, rub up on your partner a little bit more while you're making dinner or whatever, and they notice. They notice, and so they want to know, what the heck are you reading? What are you reading about me that you're so excited about? And when you start to explain it, you know, you typically explain the parts that turn you on the most without even really realizing it. You know, oh, this is what this is about, but this one scene, oh, my gosh. And there you go. You've just explained something that you are interested in, and you didn't even realize it. They didn't even realize it. But, again, you can now talk about it and have a dialogue. So it's not just you walking into the bedroom, possibly facing rejection, and saying, hi, this is what I would like to do, and being shut down. It's, okay, well, you know, I was reading this book, and this is what it was, and this isn't my idea. This is just the book. I'm just telling you what it said.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's not as intimidating to explore those fantasies.
Yeah, like, well, this character definitely did this and did that.
Yes.
Yeah. My friend in the chat room says, he's a gentleman, says that I don't care if a woman lies to me during sex, just don't tell me about it.
Oh, my.
So
well,
I don't think most women will.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not sure how I feel about that, because we talked last time about, you know, women faking orgasms.
Exactly.
And, you know, every now and then.
I'm thinking that's what he's
talking
about.
Is that
about.
Where your mind went to? I think the problem with that is that you're not truly being fulfilled one way or another.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're either cutting it short, or, you know, you're wanting it to be over faster. And obviously that's not happening every time. So for, you know, for the gentleman who's writing that, I hope he's not listening thinking, oh, my gosh, she thinks everybody's faking it with me. I'm sure they're not. But, you know, I just think that honesty is the best policy, because you don't want to continue to have to stroke the ego every time and, you know, fake an orgasm or, say that you like something when you don't because you said it once. You know, I think people get kind of stuck and they feel obligated to say
mm-hmm.
something. You know, I mean, I've met women that have gone on for years, you know, saying, oh, yes, honey, it's great. You know, this is my favorite position or what have you, and just thoroughly not enjoying sex at all whatsoever.
Wow.
No, it finally comes down to get a book, do something else, you know, go talk to them about switching things up, you know, watch a movie with them or do something to try to get out of that, because when they realize that there's something better, that's when you can open up that dialogue and say, you know what, it wasn't doing it for me anymore and I wanted to switch it up. It's not so much walking in and saying, okay, I'm bored, I'm not having any more pleasure out of this. But
and then your
mate
might be thinking the same thing, that, wow, I really would like to change it up, but she keeps saying it's okay.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know, if you're not honest in the bedroom, everybody goes off and they talk to their friends or they talk to, you know, coworkers or what have you. You know, they're always talking to somebody, you know, even if it's in an anonymous chat room. But they're always talking to somebody. And people love to give their opinions on things, which is fantastic. That's part of how you learn. But, you know, you don't want somebody telling you, oh, yeah, women love it when you do this, and that's that's like the one thing you hate more than anything. You know, and because you don't want to say anything, they continue to do that, and you're like, oh, gosh. You know, so it may just be unpleasurable or it may just be downright ugh for you. But it's important to be open. It's important to communicate. And like I said, there's always a nice way of doing it. You know, it doesn't have to be, stop, this is awful. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. So that's where last week's
like,
topic really came into play.
It could be like, let's try this alternative way. Let's try a little different, huh?
Right.
You don't have to go for, oh, it's awful. We have about 30 seconds of live streaming, but we're going to continue on for another 10 to 15 minutes. The gentleman in the chat room says that guys aren't that complicated.
Well, my answer to that is neither are women.
Good point.
But
exactly.
I'm sure you would disagree.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to tell you guys. They're not that complicated.
Oh, goodness. Well, what exactly does he mean by not complicated? You know, just willing to open, willingness to openly try things, or, you know, just the fact that they don't need additional, you know, fun in the bedroom? Like, what does that mean?
That's what I'm asking him. He says, same thing, same way, same time, same day. It's pretty fantastic to me.
Well, you know, and what I say to that, it's not that I can't understand that. And if everybody's orgasming and enjoying every single time, you know, some people are totally fine with doing
the same time every day. So he's okay with having dinner at the same time every day. In the
right. Goodness. But, you know, like I said, if everybody in the party is enjoying, then fine, fantastic. But, you know, if it's getting to the point where you know, okay, well, it's 7:30, it's time to hop in the sack, and this is what we'll do first, and this, you know, it becomes monotonous, it becomes dull, and 70% of women need that clitoral stimulation, you know, additional stimulation outside of vaginal intercourse. So, you know, while it may be great for you, because less than 25% of men can't orgasm regularly, you know, 75% and up orgasm every single time that they have sex. So, yeah, I'm sure it is great for you no matter when or where. You know, I'm sure it doesn't need to necessarily have quite as much spice, because it's more common for men to orgasm. It's easier for men to orgasm. But for
mm-hmm.
women, that's not necessarily the case. So it's not necessarily about, you know, changing everything up. But, you know, like I said, even just a light wrist tire or just using a pillow, you know, to prop your hips up a certain way, anything that's going to change things up and, you know, spice up the bedroom for you, you know, all those things are really important.
And who says just the bedroom, you know,
change
up in another room or in, can't suggest outdoors or something. You know, sometimes we can get in trouble for that, but it depends on where
well,
you
well,
are.
I did camping or something.
I live out of the country.
Yes.
But
well, and I did do a Facebook post, and I asked my clients, you know, where's the where's the craziest place that you've gotten some love in? And, you know, I've got people having sex on cars at the airport, which that was uh-huh. that was a fun one. At the beach, you know, I think we got, I did get one dressing room, you know, uh-huh. Different rooms of the house, on the kitchen, you know, on the uh-huh. floor, things like that. But even just
on the washer.
Switching up one aspect, even just switching up one aspect, you know, I know that the conversation sort of went straight to BDSM because that seems to be the hot topic right now, but, you know, that's just one variation of spicing things up. That's just
yeah.
one way to do it, you know.
One of my wildest places, there's a place here in Mississippi, in Jackson area, called the Ross Barnett Reservoir, and I know there's a lot of water also in Houston and Dallas. I'm familiar with the Dallas area. Can't wait to visit Houston. But here there's an area called the Ross Barnett Reservoir. If you Google it, you'll see just a beautiful reservoir area that we love in this area. And I think I had sex like on the rocks of the reservoir. So people that are familiar
oh
with the reservoir, I mean, that was fun. That was one of
yeah.
my wild spots. You know, like it's like the similar to the beach, but it's on the rocks of the reservoir. It's out in the midst of all the water.
Well, and that's kind of the point, you know, it's getting out of that vanilla cone sex, if you will. I hear people use the term vanilla sex, and from what all of their descriptions are, you know, it's just the basic, let's lay in bed, you know, maybe change positions once or twice, but it's just sex. You know, there's nothing else going on. There's no toys. There's no additional stimulation. There's no dirty talk. You know, there's no fantasies involved in it. It's just sex. You know,
so that's vanilla. That's considered
great.
Vanilla sex. That's considered vanilla sex.
Yes.
Cuddling is fun. I call it cuddling sex. I mean, if it's cuddling sex, but cuddling can be fun. But it's a time to just get wild, right?
Right. Well, that's kind of the point. You know, it's all about intimacy, and so you know, yes, these sweet tender moments are exciting. You know, and they feel fantastic for the heart and soul as well as the body, but you know, sometimes it's just nice to let loose and have a good time.
Well, I think adding spice to one's sex life helps keep you monogamous also. I'm a monogamous type, but I just think that even those that are not monogamous, I think if they, I won't say aren't monogamous, but those that think they can't be, you can be if you
right.
spice up your sex life and do different things like role playing and so on. You know,
right.
so those that think
right.
they can't be monogamous, I think you can be. But it's all
right.
Good.
Well,
it's
role playing is a big one.
Exactly.
Role playing is a big one. And then I asked, you know, like I said, I was asking my Facebook friends, you know, what are your fantasies? What are your partner's fantasies? And it came up more than once, the idea of having a one night stand. You know, just that excitement of being with somebody new, but without actually being with somebody new. You know, and they. Some of them had played it out and really enjoyed it, and some of them had played it out and it didn't really get them anywhere because they couldn't really wrap their brains around the fact that, you know, that's their partner of 10 years sitting there and, no, it's not a different person. But, you know, the idea of going out to a bar or a restaurant or, you know, anywhere and coming up and hitting on your spouse and pretending like you don't know them.
Exactly,
you know,
and in character. Exactly,
yes.
And then you're in character. Like, wow.
Exactly. Sometimes you have to take yourself out of your element to, you know, put some spice back into it. And, you know, there's some people who use their regular names and some people who pretend like they're completely different people. You know, they might wear a wig. They might show up in a particular outfit and pretend that they're a certain profession. I mean, you know, firemen and police officers, that's a huge fantasy for women. Just seeing mm-hmm. them in uniform is like, oh, my gosh, swoon. Like, you know, women love uniforms, and coincidentally, so do men. It just seems to be, you know, schoolgirl. Schoolgirl or nurses are their favorite, but,
uh-huh.
you know,
and
I mean, it's just a matter of...
And you know, dressed in a French maid outfit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We have a very cute one in our catalog, and, you know, it's a hot seller. So, you know, role-playing is a very fun and easy way. Because it can start off as simple as just putting on a different piece of lingerie than you're used to. You know,
uh-huh.
if you always walk in with, you know, that sweet little black lace piece, and then one night you walk in a red bustier, well, they're going to notice that something's different. And your partner's attitude changes, your attitude changes, because you know, red versus black, you know, a bustier versus a baby doll, that's sex appeal. You know, that boosts your confidence. Yes. So even just the contrast of the colors on your skin, you go from normal, what you always see, to, oh, look at you walking into my room. You know?
And even you guys, it's the same for you guys. If you're always in your birthday suit, maybe put something on that she will enjoy taking off of you. You know, because a lot of guys, like you could be in their birthday suits or whatever, but put something on, like silk boxers or something that your lady, your lover, will love to take off of you.
Right. Or even just dressing up before the fact. You know, if you're constantly coming to bed in nothing but sweatpants and, you know, socks and a T-shirt, you know, which a lot of us get to that. Well, it's true. A lot of us get to that comfortable point where that's all we ever wear around the house. You know, it's sweatpants and socks and a T-shirt. You know, it's kind of baggy. It's cringy. It's comfortable, but it's not sexy. It's not sexy. So,
important word.
Exactly. And so, you know, women like to wear lingerie to spice things up. But, you know, if your sweetie walks in and he's wearing a crisp, clean shirt, you know, you can smell his cologne. You know, scent is a very big turn-on for women because it activates memories.
What?
You know,
yes, indeed.
Yes. So when you have a guy that smells good, that's, you know, those Axe commercials, they crack me up, but they're true.
Yeah.
They're so true. You know, these women are following men around, acting like they're sniffing out, you know, like they're bloodhounds sniffing out something delicious. But it's absolutely true. Men who smell good, you know, women are more likely to notice and to be more excited by that. Just thinking about good colognes, you're like, that's nice.
Yes. Yes, like, wow. And another point I noticed through my research, I saw an article where a lady said that when she gets bored, she'll sometimes, in terms of role playing, she will begin to look at her husband the way she thinks another woman might look at her husband. And then that would inspire her, you know, her into really role playing and going into character and so on.
Right.
That's a good point also.
Yeah, people come up with all sorts of fun ways when it comes to role playing, because, you know, and even if it's only in your own mind, even if you don't open up to your partner, even if you don't, you know, say, hey, this is who I am tonight, you know, call me Candy, like, you know, even if you're not opening up to your partner, you know, fantasizing in your own mind, seeing them in a certain outfit or thinking of them in a certain way, you know, and like I said, it doesn't have to change the partner. You know, you may think of them as if, you know, how would another woman see my mate or what have you? But, you know, I think people just genuinely get a little worried about what fantasizing and stuff entails because they think that it actually means, you know, I don't love my partner or my partner doesn't love me. And that's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. Now, obviously, not everybody is in love who's in a relationship, and that's fine. You know, to each their own. But
do like each other, though.
Right, obviously, there's got to be some kind of connection. But, you know, when you are in love and you are in these relationships that you've been together for so long and things have gotten stale, it's not a matter of I'm not in love with my partner anymore. It's just a matter of time. You know, as time goes on and you do the same thing over and over again, you really do. You have to work at it sometimes to keep things interesting. You know, everybody talks about the honeymoon phase. Well, that's a real thing. That's a very real thing where everybody's all hearts and roses and, you know, fantastic sex for the first year or two or, you know, sometimes longer. But eventually life catches up to you in most cases. Some people are just crazy and have sex all the time and their relationships are fantastic and we're all envious of them. But, you know, a majority of us have to work at it. And so after a certain period of time, things start to get stale again. Work comes in the way. Kids get in the way. You know, traveling, family, friends.
The work schedule.
That's just how it is. So when you can find these fun little ways to introduce a little bit of excitement, even if it's just pretending like you have never met your spouse before or your partner and walking up and pretending like, you know, oh, hi, who are you? And hitting on them the same way that you did when you first met, or trying to reverse those roles, or, you know, even just putting them in a hat when they typically don't wear hats. Ball caps on men are incredibly sexy. For you guys listening, just letting you know, the right ball cap is very sexy.
Yes, you're right. That must be why I have a big crush on Chris Angel. Chris Angel is one of my crushes, and it must be because of the way he wears his those hats.
Right? But, you know, I mean, even the slightest changes, I really do think that people have a misconception and that they feel that they have to go all out. You know, it's either the way it is now or it's full-on bondage where I'm tied to the wall. You know, like, I think people have a misconception of what it really takes to put a little sizzle into the relationship, you know,
mm-hmm.
to put a little bit more excitement. And a lot of the times it really just starts with you. You
mm-hmm.
know, it starts with you. It starts with what you're wanting, what you feel you're missing, and start incorporating that into your thought process, into the way that you handle things. You know, I think if you show a little bit of initiative, your partner will follow suit. And if they don't, that's when you can start broaching the conversation, you know, and feeling the need to, oh, you know, I had this dream about you, or, oh, watch this with me, or, oh, gosh, read this, or whatever. You know?
And you can even incorporate, we're always talking about foods and desserts, incorporate your favorite foods, you know.
Oh,
not
absolutely.
Heavy foods, but desserts. And something that I think is fun, like wines and beverages, you know, beverages,
yes.
especially wine.
Whipped cream and strawberries. And
yeah.
Yes, there's so many fun things, but I genuinely think that if you communicate, if you're open to communication, and if you're willing to sort of take an inward look at things, then I really think that most relationships would just flourish. Would
exactly.
just flourish, because, you know, so many people want to think, it's not me, it's got to be them. You know,
exactly.
sometimes it is, but at the same time, you've got to work on you, too.
Exactly. We're concluding now, so... we're running out of time, but go ahead and conclude, because this sounds so good. I don't want to talk much because I don't want to use up your time.
Well, I mean, really, those are the main things. You've got to communicate, and you've got to be willing to look, you know, inward and see what it is that you want. You sort of do a self-evaluation and a relationship evaluation, see where everything is at, and then go from there. It can start so small. It could be as simple as, you know, wearing a different perfume. Just anything that's going to entice and spice things up. You know, and last week's topic, reading erotic literature.